A lot of you use Facebook. You use it to communicate with your friends, with your family. You use it to follow the news, to share photographs and pictures. Pictures of maybe what you just ate a few minutes ago. Some people claim that they couldn't live without Facebook. They need Facebook in their lives. However, despite how many people use and rely on Facebook, there's one fact that can't be questioned. Despite its great popularity, Facebook is never mentioned in the Bible. Not once, and I checked, not once does our scripture address the reality of Facebook. And the reason is, it's pretty obvious. Facebook did not exist 2,000 years ago. But also, Facebook is simply not crucial to our existence. Now, I'm just picking on Facebook, aren't I? There are a lot of things in our lives that you won't find in Scripture. Automobiles, viral videos of cats, Starbucks, Harry Potter. These things are important to us, but they're not crucial to our lives. There is one thing, however, that is crucial to our lives, and it is something that we encounter throughout Scripture, and it's something that is so commonplace that we tend to overlook it, or at least take it for granted. And that thing is food. From beginning to end, we can find references to food throughout our Bible. And why is this? It is because without food, we would surely perish. And God uses food in God's ongoing conversations with God's people. For example, God commands the first people not to eat of the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden. But they do, and this leads to a whole lot of other conversations. When the Israelites are fleeing Egypt, God commands them to roast a lamb and have a meal together. In the story of Daniel, who is a captive in the court of the king of Babylon, refuses to eat the food from the king's kitchen. It's not that there's anything wrong with this food, but it is not the food of his God. And in the 23rd Psalm, the psalmist praises God for preparing a table in the face of his enemies. Throughout Scripture, God uses food in the telling of God's story. Food is a source of sustenance. It is the fuel that powers our bodies. Without food, we grow weak and die. Because of the importance of food in our lives, it also serves as a ritual for us. We bond around food. Meals are a building block for community. If you want to get to know someone, you share a meal with them. Earlier, before this service, we gathered together in the fellowship hall for breakfast. We ate together. We shared stories. We built community. It is because of the significance of food in our lives that it is especially powerful when Jesus proclaims to the people, "I am the bread of life." Jesus draws on our deep relationship with God when he connects himself to bread. And bread is one of our most common foods. Jesus is making the claim that, like bread itself, he is crucial to life. But not only is he just bread, as he further explains, he is the bread from heaven. This term, bread from heaven, when the people heard it, they would have immediately thought of the story of the Israelites and their trek across the wilderness from Egypt to Canaan, from slavery to freedom, from a place without God to a place with God. And as you will recall, that journey was not without its challenges. The trip took far longer than they expected. And please do not insert any jokes here about Moses refusing to ask directions. It's not funny. But then, on that journey, there was the matter of food. There simply wasn't enough of it. Out there in the wilderness, away from Egypt, the people were running short on food, and they complained to God, and God answered by sending them food. Food in the form of manna. Manna, which we also know as the bread from heaven. Each day, the people would wake up and they would find the manna lying across the landscape for them to gather and to eat. There were a few rules about the manna. The people were only to gather enough manna for that day. If they tried to stockpile the manna, it would quickly spoil. Everyone was dependent each day on God for this manna. And this daily manna sustained the people in their journey to salvation. It served as a continuing reminder of God's promise to them, the promise of salvation. And today, in the Gospel of John, we hear Jesus proclaim that he is now the bread from heaven. And not only is he the bread from heaven, he says, "Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Unlike the manna which had a shelf life, Jesus is eternal. But Jesus sets himself apart from just regular bread. To a starving person, bread may be the difference between life and death. But Jesus is talking about a different life here. He says to the people, "Do you remember that story about how your ancestors in the wilderness were fed each day by God's manna? God sustained them through their journey. But ultimately, what happened? Ultimately, those people did die. They may have died of old age at the end of their lives in their homes, but they all died." Jesus points out that not only is he the bread from heaven, he's more than that. He is the bread of life. He said, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever." And that, those words are the promise of our faith. We follow the one who offers more than worldly wealth and comfort. We put our faith in the one who offers salvation, who offers eternal salvation. And we put this belief into practice when we celebrate the sacrament of communion. Because then, together, we eat the bread that represents Jesus and his promise of salvation. And today, as you know, is World Communion Sunday. And when we gathered at our tables, we did so in the belief that the Church of Jesus Christ is universal. It is not Presbyterian, it's not Methodist, and it's not Catholic or Orthodox. The Church is open and available to all. And so, as part of this year's recognition of World Communion, we organized yesterday's food packaging event for the organization Rise Against Hunger. And our initial goal was to package 10,000 bags of rice, vegetables, and soy. And to do this, we needed to raise $3,400. And we did that. Your gifts even exceeded that amount, and so yesterday, 53 of you gave up a Saturday morning, and you came to church, and you packed not 10,000, but 11,406 food packages. Each of those food packages serves 6 people, and that will provide 68,436 meals. 68,000 meals. These bags will be shipped to where people are hungry. These meals, they're not gourmet meals, but they are sufficient. They're like manna. They meet the needs for the day, and they will allow people to continue their journey out of whatever wilderness they find themselves in. Yesterday, we did have fun. We gathered at tables. We made food. Some of us came a little early to unload the trucks and to set up tables. We visited. We visited with friends. We made friends. We built community. And last but not least, we wore hairnets. There was a joy to our work, knowing that it served a purpose. I'm so very proud not to just call myself a follower of Christ, but to be part of this particular congregation. We don't just embrace our Savior for ourselves. We respond joyfully in discipleship and in servanthood. We are not just hearers of the word, but as we read in the letter of James, we are doers of the word as well. In our reading for today, Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. And whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." So let us always answer the call to dine at the table with our Lord. Amen.